we made it out and knocked on the door of every person we could find that had voted in any election, be it a local election, state election, or federal election. So a lot of great communication there, participated in all the candidate forums, and I've gotten a lot of email. Amazing amount of the communication is coming in through the Facebook page, actually. It's, you know, different than what I expected, but however, it's easiest for people to reach out to me.
How would you characterize communication in Ward 1 previously?
One way, you know, from most of the experiences that I have been hearing about from talking to people is people would voice concerns and ask questions and just never get responses.
So how's Facebook working out and what are you hearing?
The questions have been all over the board. I mean, some folks have had questions about their personal property and were interacting with city contractors on that. Some folks are, I've gotten messages about, you know, every topic that the council has got in front of them right now. One of the topics that there's an organized campaign somewhere in town asking for recycling bins on the streets. So every street corner that has a trash can, they want a recycling bin next to that.
Uptown Normal has some of that.
Yeah, exactly. And folks are, I've probably gotten at least 50 messages so far specifically asking, and most of them are form letters, so they come in the exact same way. Some of them have been customized, but I'm not sure what group it is that's organizing it, but I'm getting plenty of messages about it.
You said during the campaign that the city of Bloomington had earned a reputation as the city of no, meaning people with ideas to start a business often faced too much red tape to make that business work. You and your wife actually have two businesses in downtown Bloomington. Did you run into issues when you were trying to open Red Raccoon Games or Kelly's Bakery?
More when we opened Kelly's Bakery, because we didn't know what we were doing. We had this idea that, you know, Kelly's cookies were this good and we could turn this into a business, and the process was just not good. We had a difficult time navigating at the state level, at the county level, and at the local level, at the city level, and working our way through the various departments trying to figure out who we needed to talk to, which approvals we had to get. And I say the county level because the McLean County Health Department was involved for any restaurant. So, you know, navigating that whole process just wasn't easy.
The idea you floated during the campaign was an economic development peer review panel to help cut through or work around some code or policy that might be standing in the way of a good idea. Can you describe this idea a little bit more, and is this something you're still working toward?
Yeah, well, so there are no instructions anywhere that I can find on how to start a business. What documents do you need to bring when you go in and talk to planning and code enforcement, when you go to talk to engineering?
So it needs to be more user-friendly.
Yeah, and I was actually having a conversation with Austin Grammer, who is our economic development guy, and saying, why don't we have this all on the website? Why is there not just a, hey, you're having a meeting with Austin or Tom Dabereiner. Here's a list of the documents we need you to bring with you so we can have a cohesive conversation when you show up.
And Tom Dabereiner is the community development director.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, why is this not published there? And then every time you set a meeting with somebody, you send them the copy of that link, said, hey, make sure you bring all this stuff with you here. You know, I know Tom has already implemented a process where they're bringing all the various departments together to talk about economic projects that we have. So that part, they've already started doing that. I think that's awesome, and we need to keep the momentum going there.
The other area you want to focus on is infrastructure, building up from the ground up. What do you want to do? What do you want to see? And do you think the council and staff are headed in the right direction?
I think that the number one thing that we hear from constituents is the roads, right? We always hear about the roads because that's what you can see. When you're driving your car, you experience, and there are some nasty potholes that are out there. I'm not arguing that at all. The problem is that many of the places that the roads are having problems where they've been patched, the patches are falling apart, is because we had to fix the water mains, we had to fix the sewers underneath. You know, especially in the south and southwest parts of town, we've got sewers that are over 100 years old. We have brick sewers still in various places. And as an example, just this wintertime, in downtown Bloomington, they tore up Center Street at least five times that I'm aware of. and it was for water main breaks. They would they'd open the street up, they'd fix the water main break, they'd patch everything together. So now we got another patch on the road. And then a week and a half later, they would be 20 feet further down the road, which I'm assuming that the fixed pressure of the water now blew out the next failing part of the pipe. And they just kept marching up Center Street and then around the corner over onto Jefferson Street. And it's just one patch after another on that stretch now. So,
and it probably all still needs to be replaced.
A significant portion of it does, yes. And so what I want to do is I want to put more focus on saying, okay, we know the streets are a problem, but if we don't fix the foundation, if we don't fix the sewers, if we don't fix the water mains, which we know are in bad shape, we're just trying to get a gauge on how bad they are, we're going to continue this process of tearing the streets up over and over and over again.
There's been this discussion between staff and council sort of focusing on which part of, or the conversation is focused on where the city should focus mm-hmm. some of these efforts. Do you think council and staff are sort of on the same page here?
I think we're getting there. When I say you know, that I want to focus on the sewers and the water mains, Public Works and the Water Department are both, you know, singing the praises immediately because they know it's an issue. But the superficial need is the one that is in you know, that everybody's talking about in every meeting. So
if money in a city budget is targeted for a sewer oversizing project for 13,000 acres of land on the Far East Side that isn't in the city limits yet, for homes that aren't even built yet, are you sure staff is on board with focusing on the city's historic core?
Well, there are so that was written into a contract that got executed, which brought it to the top of staff awareness. And so that, you know, that contract, when it got the city got notified by the developers, that's, of course, brings it to top of mind now that we have to make a decision now on if we want to oversize the sewer or not. And, you know, it's one of the questions that I asked Jim Karch in the meeting on Monday is, you know, you were going to go back and look to see if the 8-inch sewer was big enough to finish the Kickapoo Creek development. Is it big enough or not? And the answer that we got from Public Works is yes, they believe it is so. So I don't know that we have to spend that money there.
So are you supportive of an amendment striking that from the FY18 budget?
With a couple more clarifications on numbers, you know, one of the questions that David Sage asked was, you know, what can we do with this number? I know Scott wants to do sidewalks in the west part of town, and those are desperately needed as well. David wants to know, you know, what can we do with the money? Can we do more sewer relining with that and lengthen the amount of time we can keep some of these sewers functional until we can actually fix them in a permanent fashion?
Let's stick with streets for a moment and the traffic on those streets. The council signed off on moving toward a transportation commission, replacing the staff traffic advisory commission. This should appear on an agenda soon for a council vote. What do you think about this new commission and the current process to deal with citizen traffic complaints or transportation issues?
Well, first of all, I'm going to throw a disclaimer out there that Amelia and other folks have been working on this for 6 months, and I'm two meetings in right now. So I'm trying to get caught up on everything. In general, the idea, though, I am fully in support of, because right now a lot of the decisions were being made behind a closed door by city staff. They're great staff. There's nothing wrong with that. However, you know, staff is going to go and they're going to follow national engineering standards about this is what we should do on these particular streets and or a street's this wide. And so traffic can go X number of miles per hour on this wide a street. What we've been discovering recently is citizens don't like that process. They don't want people to go as fast through their neighborhoods. And in a lot of cases, we're talking about 45 seconds to, you know, 90 seconds of delay. So it's not a huge delay we're talking about. But the idea of bringing citizens forward and increasing transparency and letting citizens be a part of the process, I mean, I don't know how we go wrong there. Staff is, of course, still going to have to guide them to say, this is what is legal or not legal. We have to follow those recommendations.
Jamie Matthew was sworn in as Ward 1 Alderman earlier this month. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. I'm Mike McCurdy. You're serving on a newly formed downtown task force with two other council members and other elected officials, some downtown business owners, members of the community. What's on your short list of priorities for downtown as it concerns this commission?
Well, I think that, so for me, it goes back to that conversation about infrastructure. You know, one of the things that I'm concerned about is we don't actually know how bad all the problems are in downtown. We know we've got bad streets. We know we have cracked sidewalks. But we don't actually know with any kind of certainty how bad the sewers are and how bad the water mains are other than we have to keep digging them up to fix brakes. But we don't have a comprehensive picture of what they look like. And in the comprehensive plan and in the downtown master plan, that's one line item in each of those documents is, you know, fix the infrastructure. But everything else we do, I don't want to spend money on streetscaping or lighting or anything else the plan calls for if we're just going to have to dig it up to fix the infrastructure again. So I'm really focused on that infrastructure piece of it, and I'm really focused on making sure we are working with business owners and property owners so that their locations can stay open and functional and viable while we're fixing things.
Mayor Renner and I talked a little bit about this during the council meeting. You talked maybe, you know, that some streets could be closed for months. Are you envisioning sort of a ground-up infrastructure overhaul like Uptown Normal went through?
I'm going to have to defer some of that to Public Works to tell us what it's going to take, but it could be that way. You know, we haven't actually opened these streets up and looked at what's underneath of them. I think the last time that anybody really did a comprehensive look at them, I want to say somebody told me 1925 was the last time. And, you know, there's a lot of documentation about where the original sewers and water pipes in the older parts of towns went that was destroyed in the fire in 1900. So I don't know.
What's a 1925 digital camera look like that snakes through a sewer line?
I think
How did they do that?
Well,
they send people down there?
There's still a lot of the old steam tunnel lines that run underneath the downtowns. They've closed most of the entrances. A lot of the businesses, even when I used to, you know, I used to work for Dave's World, and we had a location downtown on Main Street. And
Dave's World is a blast from the past.
Oh, yeah.
An old internet provider in the
Central
community.
Central Illinois' first big internet provider before Comcast and Frontier and everybody came in. But the steam tunnels were still viable, and they're still down there. We were talking about running fiber optic through those steam tunnels in 1996. I don't know. You know, the city at the time said, we don't know where everything goes. We don't think this is a viable solution because we don't know where the steam tunnels go. So, you know, it's going to be kind of an interesting process to see what we have to do.
Where does a downtown anchor, perhaps a hotel, rank in your list of things you want to see happen in downtown Bloomington?
I think that any development that were to happen to the property that we've all been talking about, which is the front and center building, I think that any development that happens there is a good thing. You know, to me, if it's a hotel and the CVB and our experts are saying that a hotel works here and a developer wants to come in and spend their money to do it, awesome. But I think that building could also be a great location for retail on the first floor, maybe a restaurant or a bar that faces, you know, a bar to kind of catty corner from the Coliseum, catching all that traffic, going to all the sporting events and everything. I think those would be good uses with apartments up above it. I think we probably have plenty of office space downtown right now, but I know there is no vacancy for apartments. Trisha Stiller at the Downtown Bloomington Association normally has a list of people who are looking for apartments. So, you know, when we opened the bakery 12 years ago, there was something like 130 people who lived downtown. And now there's over 1,000 people living in apartments and lofts above the downtown. It's a huge transformation in that 12-year period. And I think there's still room for growth.
Would you be supportive of a public-private partnership? The public money could be, you know, any sort of mix, but a lot of these sort of redevelopment projects anymore don't take place without some sort of public dollar component.
Yes, if depending on how the numbers work out. You know, so Russell Francois is the architect who's got an office right next to the bakery. I've worked with him for years on different commissions and councils. And he says, you know, what the information he's passed on to us is this is table stakes to play the game anymore. If we want these developers to come in, if we want them to create projects that create jobs, that create value, this is how we have to do it. We can say no to them and we can choose to walk away from the table, and that's fine too. But if we want things to happen, public-private partnerships are going to continue to happen. I would just say I do want them to be tied to performance of the business and of the deal, though.
What's the lifespan of the front and center building? If you walk away from it, how much will that building survive your first term as an alderman?
You know, everybody says that architecturally or engineering-wise, the framework of the building is solid. The roof has issues and it leaks, but I don't think it's at a point where it's going to cave in. I had employees who used to live in the apartments that were up on the fourth floor there. They had to move out because of black mold up there. They were getting sick all the time. So it's obviously not habitable. But I don't think from an engineering standpoint, the building's going to collapse on us. It sure doesn't do anything to promote the vitality of a downtown where 1,000 people live and all these businesses are operating when you have this one giant derelict structure there.
Let's talk about cooperation between Bloomington and Normal. Here's what you had to say about relations between the two municipalities during a GLT League of Women Voters candidate forum in March.
The more important thing now is to remind folks that we are really a single community. People that have just moved here in the last decade don't even understand why there's a separate Bloomington and Normal. It's confusing to them. And we need to focus on that single community effort with libraries and fire stations. I think we need to bring the shared sales tax back to the table and have a much further, much more detailed conversation and look at that to see if that becomes a tool that we can use for economic opportunity for the entire area. You know, right now we have had businesses who have played mom versus dad and to run and see who they can get to give away the candy.
That's audio from a March candidate forum held by GLT and the League of Women Voters. Jamie Matthews is in the studio. How do you move forward after the damage that was seemingly inflicted after the Metro Zone was dissolved?
I think interpersonal communications, we need to get people talking again. We need to get back to the table. And a lot of that is meetings that various aldermen are having outside of official meetings, just one-on-one. You know, you have to get to know the other person to understand what their motivations are before you can actually attempt to come to any sort of a reasonable agreement on how to move forward. You know, as much as I hate to hear a recording of my own voice, I find myself agreeing with myself. So it's
You shouldn't listen to this interview when it airs, though.
I have since met with the fire chief, though, and found out that Bloomington and Normal probably are not going to be able to share a fire station because of different protocols and procedures and stuff. But the library and Eastside Library thing could still be a viable partnership, because if I have a Bloomington Library card, I can still go to Normal and check books out anyway. But going back to the main question, is it's just communication. It's getting to know each other. I know probably half of the Normal Town Council members, and I want to get to know everybody else and meet them and really understand what are they trying to accomplish and what are their goals and where is Normal trying to move forward to. And if we can share those kind of ideas and concepts, that helps heal a lot of wounds.
Do you think that the shared municipal sales tax zone is a realistic goal, and is that something you're actively working on?
It actually came up in conversation again last week when I was talking to Austin Grammer that I still think it's a good idea. There's a ton of details that have to be worked out to make sure we know what the conversation really looks like before we start talking about it. You know, obviously, we know that Bloomington and Normal have both passed sales tax abatements at various times for various development projects, and every single one of those is going to have to be uncovered, looked at, and analyzed and how it affects the total situation. But the reality is if we can stop businesses from, you know, why do you want to move from Bloomington to Normal, Normal to Bloomington? If you want to move because it's a better location, you're going to do better business, that's awesome. But we shouldn't be giving anybody who's already here abatements to make that move, I don't think.
This is Sound Ideas and the first of a series of interviews with newly elected aldermen and town council members. Jamie Matthews was elected April 4th. Five groups are now calling for some sort of citizen-led review board for the Bloomington Police. Where are you on this issue?
So I don't think it's a bad idea. I talked to Chief Hefner. One of the questions I asked him Monday night is there a way that having a citizen review board damages the police department that I'm not understanding? Do we cause a problem? Because I don't want to cause problems, but lack of a citizen review board has caused problems. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of details to be worked out there, but overall, I'm in favor of the idea. And I completely disagree with the concept that I've seen on social media that it's either support the police or support a citizen review board. That's ridiculous. Of course we support the police. They do a fabulous job. We have award-winning officers here in town. We have a force we had one homicide for all of last year for a town our size. That's amazing. And a lot of that is due to our officers' ongoing, you know, mission that they're trying to fulfill. But that, again, it doesn't. There's no way where a citizen review board changes that. All we're doing is trying to get ahead of, you know, every place in the country where we've had a bad situation like a Ferguson or a Baltimore instituted a citizen review board after the fact. You know, how do we get ahead of this? How do we talk about things right now before it becomes a problem?
What do you think of what David Sage had to say, that he doesn't see a need for this review board in light of the other mechanisms for people to file a complaint with the police?
Well, it's it's hard sometimes. It's hard to be empathetic with people in a situation that you're not in. So this is kind of an awkward example, but I kind of keep coming back to it is I'm 6'5", 300-pound guy, right? My wife is 5'4". And so she is very active in women's rights issues around town and works with supporting various groups and stuff. And she points out to me situations where she would be concerned about her personal safety that I blunder through, not even aware of it, because I've never looked at the world from that point of view where I have to be concerned about my own personal safety. And so trying to keep thinking outside of the box and outside of my own personal situation to be empathetic with others is where I keep going back to. You know, when you have the event at the Stevenson Center last week with the college kids presented that, you know, undeniable statistics that there is a problem in Bloomington that we need to look at. When you have groups like the YW, the ACLU, and everybody else coming to the table saying, this is a problem, can we talk about this? I don't know how we could ignore their voices. I love process and procedure as much as anybody else, but there's something incongruous there that we need to balance out.
There may be contractual issues with the union. At what point do you think some of those issues ought to be on the table during negotiations to try to get some sort of board that actually has some teeth to it? Because if the board can't actually do anything meaningful, then there's no point in really having a board.
Well, at first we at least are the board as an advisory board. You know, could at least point out to elected officials and to Chief Hefner that say, hey, look, we probably would have come to a different resolution on this one. This is a different way of looking at it, a different perspective of looking at these issues. You know, we can't compel an officer to testify in front of any citizen review board. We can't retry somebody if they've already, you know, if there's a process already been sustained. But we can learn from what's being done, and we can move forward with it as a better educated organization, that there are alternate ways to look at the situations that have happened. You know, in terms of contract negotiations, that's, again, I'm pretty new at this right now. I don't even know what that really involves at this point. So I would defer to our HR department when they're working for the officers. But this is not a them versus us. This is a we're all together. How do we make Bloomington a better community?
Jamie Matthew, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.